This is Windy City Sports Talk, hosted by Will Hatzel. Windy City Sports Talk features all the latest news and in-depth analysis for the Bears,
the Bears,
Bulls,
the Bulls,
Blackhawks, Cubs,
holy cow,
and White Sox.
You can put it on the board, yes!
It's time to talk Windy City Sports. Hello and welcome to another episode of Windy City Sports Talk. Today's podcast will be focusing on the Bulls and the roster moves they have made so far in their new era in terms of management and coaching. And joining me today, my good friend Yash Puri. Yash and I go way back. We've hosted radio shows together back in college. We've done TV stuff together for Cardinal Sports Live down at Ball State University. We've done podcasts. We've done it all, and we're still doing it today. Our radio show, which was called Beyond the Press Box back in our college days, has been turned into a podcast with a couple of old former college friends and colleagues as well. So do be sure to check out Beyond the Press Box, of course, on all the platforms that you can find Windy City Sports Talk as well, Anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that jazz. Also, that podcast can be found on the Unhinged Sports Network website, where our podcast, along with a lot of great other sports podcasts covering a variety of different sports and topics and teams and leagues. Our show is on 11 a.m. Eastern every Wednesday. So again, just go to unhingedsportsnetwork.com. Check us out on there. And of course, check out the other amazing shows as well. So we're staying busy even in this time of a pandemic that just won't go away. But hey, you know, we got another NBA season coming up soon. We're in the heart of free agency and the offseason still, but just had the draft. And today I want to talk about, now Yash is a Cavs fan, so we're going to kind of get his outsider perspective of the Bulls and what they're doing. Curious to get an outsider's thoughts on that. Also, we'll just kind of touch base and recap the draft that just happened, talk about a couple of the big moves, the big trades, and free agency signings. Of course, I'll get his take on the Cavs, too, if he likes the direction they're going in. Especially because, you know, they're both in the Central Division, the Bulls and the Cavs. So a little bit of a rivalry going on there. And I'd love to get Yash's take, and maybe we could debate a little bit on who is in better shape in their rebuild. The Bulls, who have been technically been doing it longer than the Cavs, or is it the Cavs themselves who, in my opinion, we'll get Yash's opinion here in a little bit. But my opinion, I kind of like the young core that they got. Still a lot to prove, but it seems like they got a nice basis of, you know, youth to grow and develop with. So Yash, thanks for joining the show today. I hope you're doing well, man.
Yeah, dude. Appreciate being on. And you know, it's always, like you mentioned, we go way back, man. It's always fun, to get on with Ball State friends like yourself.
Yeah. And like I said, it's awesome that we can still collaborate and, you know, do things together, especially Beyond the Press Box. I mean, taking that name and that brand that we had when it was a radio show at WCRD and continuing it with a podcast. It's on a new up and coming, you know, sports show website. There's a lot of other big news in the works with Unhinged Sports Network that will be shared later on once it all comes to fruition. But we're making some big progress and chugging along with that, too. So plenty of ways to watch or listen to. Maybe we'll stream one day too down the road, but plenty of ways to listen to that. And like I said, most of the same ways you can listen to this too. So, you know, if you're looking for sports podcasts to listen to, especially while you're stuck at home trying to wait out the pandemic, hey, you know, you got Windy City Sports Talk for your Chicago stuff if you're into that. And of course, Beyond the Press Box, we talk about a lot of things in terms of different sports leagues and teams and whatnot. It's kind of a variety show where we're not just focusing on one or two teams. It's, you know, with whole leagues and big, some of the biggest sports news coming out there every week. So, but glad to have you on here. I mean, I've always had you, Cody and Yash. I've had you, Cody and Zach on so many times. So it's always fun to have you guys on. But let's get into it. I want to get your thoughts on, we'll talk a little bit Bulls here before we get into everything else in the Cavs, but curious to get your outsider's perspective on the Bulls with their new management. This is their first ever pick, leading the Bulls and picking with the number four pick, Florida State forward Patrick Williams. What are your thoughts on that move? You like it or dislike it?
I do like it. I think Patrick Williams provides a lot of a lot of positives coming in from he played at Florida State, with a couple of the other guys that got drafted as well, Devin Vassell, to name another went in the top 10 as well with him. But, Patrick Williams, he's a solid guy on both ends of the floor. I think he can provide, again, once you get that rookie, he can provide that spark for you. And, he's solid on the offensive side, but he needs a little work on the defensive side of the ball. But overall, I think he can provide that spark along with, and I think he fits in as well with Coby White and LaVine and Markkanen as well.
Yeah, and it seems that the Bulls this year have really committed to the big men in the draft. In the second round, they drafted Marko Simonovic in the second round, where he, I believe, maybe the 44th pick. Everybody confused him with an older player that has the same name who's got like gray hair and everything. So no worries. This guy's young and he's from Serbia. And it sounds like the Bulls are planning on letting him play overseas at least one more year, let him groom and develop his game out there before bringing him to the NBA. This is very similar to the Nikola Mirotic thing where he played out overseas.
And I'll say this too is, you just look at, I think the Bulls pick, this year kind of mirrored what my Cavs picked as well. It was also ironic that our teams picked back to back in the first round with the number 4 pick going to the Bulls and number 5 with the Cavs. But I know the Cavs picked Isaac Okoro, who was a really good defender on the ball, and that's kind of mirrored what you guys picked. And Patrick Williams too, you just looking at his stats here, averaging 9 points a game, couple blocks, couple steals a game, a monster on that defensive side of the ball. And I think it's really nice to see both of our teams who needed a little bit of help on defensive side of the ball get a premier defender from the college ranks.
Yeah, and when you look at Patrick Williams, now he is young, so there's definitely going to be some development there. I believe he's only 19. Yeah. So he's again, there's a lot of guys in this draft where you got, LaMelo Ball, who didn't even play, collegiate USA basketball, was playing overseas, which not necessarily a bad thing because he's still playing for pro European leagues out there when he, hit the last couple of years. But when you're drafting guys that are 18, 19, 20 years old with limited experience, I believe Isaac Okoro, played 1 year as well.
Yeah.
He played just his freshman year. So there's going to be some challenges with growth and development here with both of our teams with these guys. But, you look at Isaac Okoro, SEC all defense, SEC all freshman team, all SEC team in general. So, I mean, the guy was pretty good here. I think Isaac Okoro may be a little bit more flashy offensively, shot 51% from the field, not the best 3-point shooter, 28% from the 3-point line. But, again, these guys are young. To be fair, he only had 1 year in college. So you're going to have to kind of groom him a little
and
bit too.
And that's similar to, like you mentioned with Patrick Williams, only played 29 games, in college and played that 1 year. So, yeah, I mean, you definitely hit the nail there, Will, that these guys are really young but you got Billy Donovan up there now, who did a phenomenal job with the Thunder last year, who were supposedly supposed to be a rebuild team, but they ended up, we ended up seeing how that turned out and the run that they made in the NBA bubble. I trusted Billy Donovan, seeing what he's done in the past, not only at Oklahoma City, but even in his college days at Florida, the way he's able to groom younger players that he can, you know, groom these young guys and put you guys in the conversation.
Well, and I think that's great that you bring up Donovan because, yeah, it's almost, honestly, if you're a Thunder fan, I think you should be disappointed that they didn't look to re-sign Donovan, keep him around and keep going with what they had because it was a stellar run. And I guess realistically in the West, it doesn't make too much sense to try to compete with that young of a roster and that old of a Chris Paul. But that was a tremendous job of what Donovan did there. And he's kind of coming into a very similar, not exact, but very similar situation where he has a couple of veteran types of players like Otto Porter Jr. and Zach LaVine, and then mix that in with a ton of young guys. You know, they just drafted Patrick Williams. You still have a young Wendell Carter Jr., Daniel Gafford, Kobe White, Chandler Hutchison. There's a lot of young guys on this team that we're still trying to see where they all mix, what they could do. I should also mention another veteran in Thaddeus Young. Yeah. So it's you got like three legit veteran type of players, and also Lauri Markkanen, who I kind of put in the middle because he's not a rookie-esque player anymore, but he's still young enough to where he's still trying to find the rest of his game and his niche in the NBA and where he fits with this team, if it's even with the Bulls, because we know there's a lot of speculation with that. But I think Donovan is definitely a good coach for this type of team, and a guy like Patrick Williams, I think he's going to be okay. And another great thing about him is he's known for his defensive play, too, in terms of how he could stretch the floor, play a couple different positions. Didn't score a lot in college, 9 points a game, but 45% from the field, 32 from the 3-point line. Not too bad. I do appreciate, again, as a big man who's going to be in the paint pounding around, I do appreciate an 83% free throw percentage. So, you know, if you're going to, you got to find a way to make your mark. And maybe if he's not going to be shooting the ball a lot and scoring in many ways, maybe the free throw line is where he does his damage. So I do appreciate a young player that's kind of flexible with his skill sets. And of course there will be more to have to grow and develop with him. But I like the pick. It may not be the most fancy pick. It's not the big LaMelo Ball hype pick. Yeah. But is there, looking at your Cavs, was there anybody else you wanted instead of Isaac Okoro, or do you feel pretty good about picking him with the fifth pick?
I thought we were going to go with Obi Toppin, from Dayton. And that was kind of, you know, projected draft boards, but you know, looking at the fit overall, I think Okoro fits a lot better because our defense, the Cavs defense, was horrendous last year, and Toppin, he's kind of a flashy, you know, loves to get in the fast break and dunk and you know score, and I think we needed more the Cavs needed more defensive help. And they definitely got that in Okoro. So in terms of what I was expecting, I was thinking we were going to get Obi Toppin, but, you know, Okoro is the one that makes the most sense looking at it now.
Now, was Obi a small forward too?
Yes. Yeah. Or power forward. Sorry. He was a power forward.
Well, you know, sometimes they can flex a little bit.
Yeah. Paul, power between. Forward, small forward. Yeah.
So, but you know, when I look at your Cavs roster, man, it's kind of similar to the Bulls in terms of you have a nice combination of some veterans and some young guys. And again, since in the last couple of drafts, you guys invested in guards and Darius Garland and Colin Sexton, I think it seemed appropriate to go for a really, in my opinion, specifically a small forward here because you have a couple other, your other big men are your veterans, you know, Andre Drummond, Kevin Love. I think it's huge to have Andre Drummond. He's so underappreciated in this league with his rebounding ability.
And now we have another, we got through a trade with the Lakers. We ended up getting JaVale McGee. So,
good old JaVale.
You know, so that's another veteran, like you know, mentioning veteran presences there. That's another veteran guy who knows, you know, especially coming off of a championship run in the bubble with the Lakers and being with the Warriors out there in the Bay, he has, you know, experience in big moments, experiences in the playoffs and, you know, how to win in the regular season. So that could come, that definitely will come in handy for the Cavs coming this season.
Yeah, like I said, I think having those big men veterans along with those, you know, those young guards who are going to be, you know, a couple years into the league, you know, when we finally start this next season, I think that's going to be huge.
Yeah.
And to be fair, you guys did lose one longtime member of the team in Tristan Thompson, who signed a deal with the Celtics over the weekend. How do you feel about Tristan Thompson going? Because, again, he's been there since the days of LeBron leaving and then coming back and being a valuable member in his supporting cast when he came back in those couple of years with those title runs. Are you sad to see him go, or do you think it's time to move on?
I think it was time to move on. You know, he was struggling towards the last 2 years here with the Cavs, and, you know, injuries. He hit the injury bug a lot this past season. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, I think it was time to move on from him. And you know, you mentioned it just a second ago. The Cavs have Andre Drummond. They've got Kevin Love. Now they have JaVale McGee. I think we have a plethora of bigs who, you know, can come in and step in and take his place and really have a big impact, you know, underneath in the paint. So I think it was time for him to go. I think he needed a little change of scenery too. He's been in Cleveland since 2011. So 9 years, 9, 10 years he's been in Cleveland. I think it was time for I think for him as well, just like I said, needed a little change of scenery. And I'm happy for him. You know, I ended up signing with the Celtics. So I think overall was more of he was kind of struggling, especially with staying healthy later in his Cavalier career. So I feel like it was time for him to move on.
Yeah, it doesn't even feel like he's been in the league that long. I felt like he was like a fifth year player, not a guy that's been around for
like almost 9 years,
almost a decade at this point. kind of makes me feel old, man. Before we get more detailed in the free agency and the trades and everything that have happened, let's finish up a little bit of a recap here on the draft. Kind of want to get your overall thoughts. There really wasn't a surefire number one pick. You know, was it going to be LaMelo? Was it going to be Anthony Edwards? Was it going to be James Wiseman? Were we going to see maybe Isaac Okoro go top three? Obi Toppin dropping out of the top five was maybe a little bit surprising.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Anthony Edwards went to Minnesota number one. The most hyped player in this draft, LaMelo Ball, goes to Charlotte at number three. What did you think about the draft this year, especially, I guess, really that top five, top 10, where everybody is so focused on? Any surprises there, or do you think teams are going to be happy with who they picked?
No, I think teams are going to be definitely going to be happy with who they picked overall, because, you know, Anthony Edwards, I think he's going to fit in well with Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell, and kind of offers a cushion for D'Angelo Russell as well in the backcourt. So I think that was a good pick. I think for Golden State, they definitely need help down in the paint, and now especially with the loss of Klay Thompson. To another, sorry, I can't talk today. Especially with the loss of Klay Thompson, you know, to another season-ending ACL injury, which you know, our thoughts with Klay. But I think he definitely needed another strong presence down in the paint. And not only can James Wiseman get down low and dunk and really play aggressive underneath the basket, but he can also shoot threes. And he's a versatile guy around the perimeter. So I think that really suited the Warriors well, especially, like I said, with the loss of Klay and LaMelo, probably the most hyped player in this year's draft. And interesting thing is, you know, is, and I think he was asked about it. His dad had said that he could beat MJ one-on-one, and now MJ ends up being his boss. So, you know, it's interesting pick by Charlotte. But, you know, especially with them adding Gordon Hayward, which we'll talk about here in a second, but especially with them adding Gordon Hayward, as well. And you have Scary Terry, as I call him, Terry Rozier, Gordon, Gordon, and Cody Zeller, and you know, it's kind of like where are you gonna fit him in when you have all these Devontae Graham, who's an up and coming star for the Hornets as well. Where are you gonna put LaMelo in? But I think the draft, like you mentioned, it wasn't a clear cut. It wasn't like the NFL draft where you knew Joe Burrow was going to be the number one overall pick. Here, it wasn't really as clear cut. I like the Pistons pick in Killian Hayes. Again, really a great off ball scorer, and you know, he definitely can. You know, he's definitely averages about 1.5 blocks a game. So really a good defender. For any team. So, especially, with Dwayne Casey and the Pistons, and with Blake Griffin looking to, you know, adding him can only bolster their options to make a run this season. So overall, I really, really like the picks. You know, even the one pick that I was kind of like, what's going on here is because the Cole Anthony pick by the Magic, because you already have Markel, you already have Michael Carter Williams, you know, you're adding a third point guard in the mix with Cole Anthony. So, other than that, I thought that the draft went pretty much according to plan and went very smoothly overall.
Yeah, I think Minnesota made a solid choice in going for Anthony Edwards. I do believe they really needed a guard, whether it was a point guard or shooting guard.
Yeah.
LaMelo Ball, he could be a good player. I think the Ball brothers are going to be serviceable players in the NBA in the long run and probably have long careers where they stay relevant, they stay on teams. But I don't know how big their impact's going to be, and I really never viewed LaMelo as being – the number one pick. Now, hey, you know, being drafted number three is still pretty darn good too.
Yeah.
I think there are a few question marks in terms of what is Charlotte going to do in terms of their roster, because as you just mentioned, they got a lot of star power already in a couple of other areas, and then you already got Devontae Graham, who balled out last year, and he's, I figured he was the projected starting point guard. Now, of course, again, we're the NBA today, you know, power forwards could play center and small forward, and shooting guards could play even small forward and all this other stuff too. So guys stretch around positions. And so, you know, LaMelo, maybe he could kind of play a PGSG role, something like that. So, I mean, I think they're going to be kind of filled up in terms of starting point guard and, you know, and even small forward again with getting Gordon Hayward. But I think it's a good position for him because, again, all eyes are going to be on him. All this hype, let's let him grow and develop. And if he comes off the bench this year, so what? LaVar Ball might start calling Michael Jordan again and start up a bunch of LaVar Ball drama because he's not going to like it, but it may be better off. I mean, look at Lonzo. It took Lonzo Ball to get traded to the Pelicans and away from the Lakers to really find his game because, you know, when you go play for the Lakers, the expectations are you have to be a Kobe Bryant, Will Chamberlain-esque player or you're a bust. I mean, you know, Julius Randle was run out of town there. There's been a lot of other guys during the years, especially when Kobe retired and after they stopped, when they weren't in the playoffs and they weren't a playoff contending team, you know, they had a lot of guys come and go, a lot of failed guys. Well, not that they're horrible players, but they're not living up to that LA hype. So maybe it's better for Lonzo. I think maybe for LaMelo, maybe a team like Charlotte or Minnesota was going to be better off rather than going to a bigger market team. And my last thoughts with Golden State, I think, now correct me if I'm wrong, Yash, I believe it was after the draft the Klay Thompson news came out, or at least it was after the draft when they found out that it was his Achilles or whatever he tore.
Yeah, so before the day of the draft, actually, he was involved in a pickup game, and the news came out like 2-3 hours before the draft that, you know, there was a significant injury, but they didn't know what it exactly was, but they knew it was like a significant injury where he would potentially could miss a lot of, you know, most of the season, if not all the season. And then after the draft is when everything came out about his ACL tear and that he would, you know, for definitely miss this next season.
Okay. So, I'm not the biggest fan of the James Wiseman pick, but yeah. To be fair, this, you know, not knowing what exactly was wrong and the, you know, not getting the exact confirmation and exact details of what the injury was until after the draft. Obviously they couldn't really completely scrap their draft plans, because when you say significant injury, all right, does that mean he's out for the next? A significant injury to me is anything that's even from like a couple of months. So, you know, minor injuries, you're out maybe 3 to 4 weeks, but anything other than that, like more than a month, you know, 4 to 6 weeks or longer is significant to me. So if you're talking about him missing the start of next season, that's significant, but you don't really have to hit the panic button. But him being out a whole other year definitely is going to cause some issues. But, you know, it's not like they could have really done anything different. So, this helps them. James Wiseman's going to – he could feed off of and play well with Draymond Green. I think that's huge. I believe they acquired Kelly Oubre as well, who was recently just acquired – by the Oklahoma City Thunder. So, I mean, they're stacking up on some forwards and some centers, so they might go a little bit bigger next year, which might not be too bad, because someone's got to grab the rebounds from Steph or for Steph, and they might have something working there, so we'll see. And my last little tidbit, I know you were talking about the Pistons a little bit. The only thing I got to say with them is I wonder if Killian Hayes is finally going to be their point guard, because they've been, for years now, desperately trying to find a point guard. Now, maybe Killian could learn under Derrick Rose a little bit, which would be huge. But yeah, the quest for finding a true legitimate point guard for Detroit continues, but maybe Killian Hayes is their answer. So yeah, so let's get into free agency and trades and everything that's happened, because there's also been a lot of rumors, and we kind of know where we stand on some opinions already because of doing, recording a couple days ago, Beyond the Press Box, recapping some of this mayhem. But I feel like we're opening up a can of worms here, and it's like you don't know where to go because so much has happened. It's almost tough to rank what was the best move, what was the biggest move. And there's a lot of rumors to digest still, which I think are eventually going to come into fruition, especially with James Harden and maybe Russell Westbrook getting traded again and John Wall apparently requesting a trade, but now they're denying that that was the thing that happened. But I'll ask it this way. What do you think has been the biggest move in free agency so far, whether it's a trade or a signing?
I think, adding Marc Gasol for the Lakers has been big. I mean, he was a key piece of that Toronto team. And again, he brings that versatility, kind of like what I mentioned with James Wiseman. With the Warriors and being able to shoot the three, being able to get shots out on the perimeter. The Lakers lineup is going to be super scary this year. I'll say that the Lakers, I think we mentioned it on Beyond the Press Box as well, that their bench could be a starting lineup somewhere for a team. So I think overall big signing. And signing of Gordon Hayward with Charlotte, that got some big media attention and some big news, which personally, and I know Will, you probably feel the same way, I think they overpaid him. He's not really worth $30 million and $30 million overall. And I just think that Michael Jordan kind of, I don't know what he was doing when he was thinking of doing that, but they overpaid him. And then the other one that happened earlier on last week was Chris Paul going to Phoenix, and I think that really and that kind of was involved with the Kelly Oubre to the Golden State trade. But Chris Paul going in with Devin Booker and pairing up with him, I think he's going to be a great pairing for Phoenix, and can definitely, and you saw what Chris Paul did in Oklahoma City. He elevated that whole team and led them in the bubble as well as far as they did. So, you know, I think he can definitely go in there, work with Devin Booker, who's been in the league, who's not a rookie. You know, he knows the ropes. He's been in the league for a while, and they can really elevate that team to another level. So I think kind of those were my three biggest kind of transactions that happened with free agency so far.
Yeah, they may not even be the biggest because, you know, there's these rumors of James Harden wanting to go rejoin Kevin Durant in Brooklyn. Yeah. I mean, that would be a heck of a big three that I would kind of buy into. And I can lie, I really think so. I've been saying that for the longest time. I think the Houston's biggest mistake is they tried so hard to make a dynamic guard duo of Chris Paul and James Harden and Russell Westbrook and James Harden. James Harden needed a forward or some kind of big man to balance out the team. And I think Kevin Durant can do that. Because, listen, Kevin Durant himself can lead a team offensively. And then you got Kyrie, who the pressure gets even more off of him, too. Because Kyrie, you know this from his time in Cleveland. Like, it's a good player, needed somebody. But he can't do it by himself.
Yeah, so, he needed somebody else.
Nobody has to heavily rely on one person because now you have three. And then, you know, they re-sign Joe Harris. I mean, if they find a way to get
James.
Yes, and I don't know if Spencer Dinwiddie, another backup point guard, I don't know if he may end up getting traded in this trade, which if I was Houston, I'd be asking for Dinwiddie because he'd be a good guard to kind of start rebuilding around. But that Brooklyn team could really be something to watch next year. Maybe a little bit overhyped because we know there's three players there that they're really good, but they've either been carried by others in the past or they haven't won anything on their own. So.
And the other aspect of this, Will, is that Mike D'Antoni, under Mike D'Antoni's system, it was favorable to James Harden because really there was no defense and he was able to really get his three ball, shoot a lot of threes, which is what James Harden likes to do. And what's ironic is that Brooklyn hired Mike D'Antoni as an assistant to Steve Nash. After he stepped away from the Rockets job.
Can't get rid of him that easily, I guess.
So, you know, if James does go out there, it is a very favorable system that he knows already with Mike D'Antoni as the assistant out there. And the other thing is you know, you have all these kind of with Brooklyn too, you have Kyrie and Kevin Durant saying, oh, I don't think we, you know, they're not really, it'll be interesting to see them this season, especially with how they handle their coach, with how they handle Steve Nash in the coaching role. Because, you know, previously Kyrie and Kevin Durant had stated that, you know, oh, we don't have a coach, you know, we can coach ourselves or whatever when Steve Nash was hired. So, it will definitely be interesting to see, especially if they now add James Harden into the mix, how the camaraderie and how everything's going to work together to create this team.
Yeah. And I wanted to touch on what you were talking about too, with Gordon Hayward and that signing. It's not that I think it's a bad signing. I think it's a good move for a young team like Charlotte, who's probably looking for more of a veteran guy, especially when you talk about the young guys like Graham, you talk about, you know, drafting LaMelo Ball now. The only thing is $120 million for a guy that's been injured and really didn't take it to the next level like everybody thought when he went to Boston. Yeah. I think they got a little bit too risky there price-wise. And, yeah, I think there's a couple of head-scratchers in terms of how they're gonna set up that starting rotation and the bench and everything, because you got a lot of guys that kind of fit in the same pieces over there. So – but I don't know. Should we doubt Michael Jordan? I don't know. But then again, he may not have the most solid ownership.
That's what I saw. Is like I on Twitter, I've been seeing, you know, and especially like you know, I've been hearing a lot of things where people are saying, you know, they're great, or you hear out here that they're great players, but they're not really, you know, great in a coaching role. They're great players, but they're not really that great in an ownership role overall. So
team building takes a special type of skill. I totally believe in that, because not anybody could be a manager.
So that's why I'm thinking, like, I think Michael Jordan as a player, he's a great guy, but I think, you know, as an owner, on that decision, I mean, he's been good with what he's been doing in Charlotte. You got Malik, you know, they got Malik Monk. They drafted Malik Monk a couple of years ago. You know, you got Cody Zeller there. You've brought in Terry Rozier, who's given that team a spark. You've built up Devontae Graham. So I like what he's doing there. I just don't know. You know, there's some times where I'm like, I question his ownership, like on some decisions where I question his decision.
They've hit on some draft picks, but they're not like superstar guys. Like, you know, you're not relying on Cody Zeller or Malik Monk to be the top players on your team. I mean, it's impressive to say that they drafted them, these guys, how many years ago now, 5 to 7 years ago, and they're still playing. They're still relevant players, but they're still looking for that guy that's, you know, the foundational piece. Now we'll see if LaMelo is. I don't think he will be. He could be another Malik Monk and Cody Zeller, where he's a good player, a successful player, efficient. But, you know, at the end of the day, what exactly is he going to become? Is he really going to be the guy that leads him to the playoffs, makes those big shots? You know, is the guy that attracts other free agents here, there, down the road? I'm not too sure about that. Now, I will say the two Kings in the NBA, I think, meaning the King of the East and the King of the West, I think they did enough to keep themselves at the top. I'll talk about the West here real quick. For example, I'm not really buying into the moves that the Clippers made. Losing Montrezl Harrell was huge.
Yeah.
They kind of reformatted their bench a little bit. Not that that's a bad thing. And to be fair, they have their stars. They have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. However, I'm not a big fan of Tyronn Lue being their coach now. We know we have questions about Paul George in the playoffs, Kawhi Leonard. Sometimes I don't know what's going on with him because with this having to take rest days off every other day.
Yeah.
There's a lot of rumors of him getting preferential treatment and nobody else getting the same kind of treatment. There's something with that Clippers team. I think they're going to fail to hit the mark next year, especially when you look at the Lakers, who, you know, they're replacing Rajon Rondo with Dennis Schroeder, who's younger and really, I would say, kind of on the same level. But I mean, maybe he's going to be a little bit quicker because he's a younger player. You know, they're bringing back Markieff Morris, got rid of Dwight Howard, got rid of JaVale McGee again. But then you're bringing in, you know, but then you bring in, you know, Montrezl Harrell and some of these other guys. I mean, I think that's huge. You know, Harrell coming off being sixth man of the year, being a guy that's just been on a strong come up. So I think it has just been fantastic moves for them. And also on the other side in the East, which isn't necessarily good for me and you, the Bulls and the Cavs, but you got the Milwaukee Bucks, who I think they did enough too to really impress Giannis Antetokounmpo to keep him around. I think trading for Jrue Holiday was huge. I think he kind of forms, he's the third and final piece to their so-called big three, you know, Chris Middleton, Antetokounmpo, and then now Jrue Holiday. I think adding guys like Bobby Portis, a solid guy coming off the bench, and just getting rid of guys that are so irrelevant, you know, Robin Lopez, Kyle Korver, they got rid of some old guys that just, they don't do much. And listen, I love Kyle Korver. I love Robin Lopez, former Bulls, great personalities, Kyle Korver. Some great memories with threes that he shot, some big threes, but they're just not great players anymore. Robin Lopez has never really been a great player, but Kyle Korver's not the shooter he once was. So I think, in my opinion, the Bucks and the Lakers did enough to maintain their thrones at the top of their respective conferences. So do you agree with me on that, or do you think there's some other teams on the come up in either conference?
No, I do agree with you there. I think that the Bucks and the Lakers, and I just talked about the Lakers earlier, the pieces that they've added, to surround LeBron and AD, really been phenomenal. Hats off to Frank Vogel and Rob Pelinka out there in LA. They lost Rajon Rondo, but you know they've signed so many. They brought Montrez from the Clippers into Laker Nation. So, you know, and they signed so many key pieces. They definitely maintain their top status getting into this season. And with the Bucks, I mean, you lose George Hill and Eric Bledsoe, but you get Drew Holiday. You're bringing in Drew Holiday in the mix. You're re-signing. They sat down with Giannis. And Giannis is bought into their system moving forward. And I know the Heat are going to pursue him next year in free agency is what their plan is. So, but it's I think the only other team that kind of rivals the Bucks in the East would be the Heat. You know, they just drafted Precious Achiuwa from Memphis. Shout out to him. And you know, he's a baller. Definitely, kind of like James Wiseman, very versatile and what he can do, and very good defender overall. So I think the only true kind of big time test in the East that the Bucks are going to have in terms of the building blocks that they built up are the Heat in South Beach. But other than that, I think you're definitely right there, Will, that both of the powerhouses on the East and the West kind of did or made decisions and drafted players that basically helped bolster their core but you keep them at the top for next season.
Well, the only sad thing, Yash, is that our teams haven't really gotten any special players or got to do anything fun with rumors and speculations, and obviously that's because they're nowhere near playoff contention yet or true championship teams. But
we'll get there, Will. We'll get back there one day.
One day. But and that leads me to the last thing I want to talk to you about here before we wrap up. But looking at the current state of the Bulls and the Cavs, who do you think is in a better place right now in their rebuild? Do you think it's the Bulls that have been in it longer, although now they have new management, new coach, and they still don't really know who their key players are? Is it LaVine? Is it Markkanen? Is it Kobe White? Or is it your Cavs, who are in the early stages of the rebuild still, but they seem to have a pretty solid youth core that they want to test out and have them play together and see what they do?
I would think it'd be my Cavs, and not just because I'm a fan of the Cavaliers. But they do, like you said, they do have a lot of young pieces, key pieces, in Chetty Osman, Darius Garland, Dante Exum. It's not just young pieces, but the veteran mentorship that's on this team as well. I mean, we just re-signed Matthew Dellavedova. Keeping that veteran presence at the point guard, shooting guard level, for the Cavs, I think overall, we've got so many young pieces, to build. And now you bring in an Isaac Okoro, and you've already got that veteran and Kevin Love, with us as well, still with us as well. So I think overall, the Cavs are in a better spot in the rebuild, even though they are at the early stages, like you mentioned, Will, of the rebuild process, whereas your Bulls have been rebuilding for a while now. But like you said, I think, you guys have the Bulls have, the management changes. When you got rid of Hoiberg and Boylan, and I know you expressed your frustration with Jim Boylan earlier
many times,
the frustration there, and now with the new management, I think you guys are getting there. You guys have the pieces or getting the pieces to build that team back up. But overall, I feel like at the current state, the Cavs are the better suited team in the rebuild.
Honestly, man, I agree with you. There's for all the big debate fans out there, I'm sorry, there's not really a big rebuttal here, but I think the Cavs have a better track record right now. Yeah. You know, the Bulls continue to go through coaches. I know.
And that, I mean, that
is good that they got a new front office.
That would be my only, you know, that'd be my biggest reasoning essentially for my take there is because the Cavs also, I mean, think we tried to go through the college ranks. We got the coach from Michigan and now we let him go. And now we have JB Bickerstaff for the last like 2 years. So, but we've also kind of gone through our fair share of coaches, but overall, you know, I think the stability over the last couple of years has really helped the Cavs and the players in terms of their development.
Well, that's the thing. I think the key word right there, Yash, the Bulls don't have it. Okay, we know Donovan is a good coach. I'm feeling great about that, feeling positive, optimistic. I'm feeling positive and optimistic about the new, you know, president of operations and the new general manager. These guys, they have proven track records from where they've been before. However, it's still unknown in terms of who your star player is, which young players are going to play well, because I'm high on Kobe White. I still like Zach LaVine. I'm worried about Lauri Markkanen. I'm worried about Chandler Hutchison.
Yeah.
I'm mad we re-signed Denzel Valentine.
Yeah.
Daniel
Gifford. You still have Ryan Arcidiacono from the Villanova.
Yeah, but again, he's another – to me, he's your number two, number three point guard behind, you know, Kobe White, Thomas Satoransky. You know, they also brought in Devin Dotson, who I believe is a undrafted free agent who's got some high potential apparently. But and then they brought in Garrett Temple, too, on a one-year deal. He's the Bulls' prize free agent this year on a one-year deal. But at the end of the day, there's still a lot of question marks on the roster and who are your key foundational pieces. I mean, we talked about this on Beyond the Press Box last week leading up to the draft. There were rumors swirling around about Zach LaVine maybe getting traded and the Bulls wanting to go for a veteran guard. So nothing is set in stone with this roster. Now,
And Dunn just left you guys for Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So
He teams up with Rondo and Trae Young out there now for a pretty decent guard group now, I would say.
Yeah.
But when I look at your Cavs, I think there's still a lot of questions to be answered. But I'm correct me if I'm wrong, because you're the Cavs fan here. But I'm guessing you feel pretty good about Garland and Sexton being a guard combo. Of course, you're going to give Isaac Okoro some time. Kevin Love may be your prized guy to trade for, more draft picks or younger players down the road, and maybe sooner rather than later. But so that's a good. A good valuable trade piece right there. Andre Drummond is a veteran that's reliable with rebounding and defense. So there's still questions to be answered with your Cavs team, but I feel like going forward, you must feel good with the group you're going to go into next season with and see what they could do.
No, definitely. And, you know, just to throw some numbers at you, you know, Darius Garland averaged 12 points a game last season, shot about 35% from the three. Colin Sexton averaged 20, almost 21 points a game at three rebounds and averaged about four assists per game. So, you know, the Cavs really do have a decent backcourt in Garland and Sexton. So especially when you're averaging 21 and almost 13 points a game I think, again, like you said, the stability for the Cavs the last two seasons with Bickerstaff have helped. And with the addition of JaVale McGee and Isaac Okoro, I think the Cavs made the smart play. And, you know, we have the offensive firepower we have the offensive minds with Sexton and Garland and even Love, who can still shoot pretty decently from the three, but needed to improve the defensive side of the ball, and that's where they were smart in the draft and through free agency so far.
Well, Yash, I thank you for coming on the podcast today. Great conversation with you as always. I'll definitely have you on again, and I think it'd be kind of cool once the season gets started and some games get played, see how both the Bulls and the Cavs are faring and see how they're doing in their rebuild, and maybe we could revisit this little debate again on which team is having the better rebuild. Again, today I have the lame choice of giving you a non-rebuttal counter because I agree with you, but who knows? Maybe
we'll get there one day. We'll get there one day with our teams.
And either way, we know we're going to have some great basketball to watch, whether it's our teams or not, because it's going to be a good season. This free agency and draft period has already got me hyped up. I can't wait for basketball to be back on, which what I think they're targeting, like a around Christmas return.
December 22nd. So
we're about a month away, so I'm excited for that. But thanks again, Yash, and everybody. Be sure to check out not only Windy City Sports Talk, but also the other podcasts we do, Beyond the Press Box, which can be found just where you could find Windy City Sports Talk as well, anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you could get a podcast, really, and also on the Unhinged Sports Network. We're on there every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern time, so be sure to check us out there as well. And everybody have a safe, happy, and fun Thanksgiving, no matter how you're celebrating. Thanks for listening to Windy City Sports Talk. You can find more episodes on anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Until next time, be well.